الله الرحمن الرحيم. Currently we're doing the chapters with regard to the virtues of reading the rawatib. Rawatib we explained, and those salahs that are attached to the faraz salahs. So in other words, our sunnah salahs that are attached to the faraz salahs, we're doing the reward of those salahs. So we did the reward of the sunnah mu'akkada salahs in general, and we explained that Allah Ta'ala will give a person a palace, a beautiful palace in Jannah, for him reading these 12 rakats of sunnat mu'akkada salah. So in our days, we find that for a person to build just a house, a normal house in this world, how much effort it takes, how much energy it takes, how much of finances it takes, and how much of pressure it brings. A person was explaining to me yesterday how much of time, energy, effort he bought a new place, but it was a little bit run down. He needed to spend on it. Spending and spending and spending, and it's not finishing. So the finishes in this world, what it does, it finishes us up. Spending, it doesn't finish. Even after a person built it, after it's built now, maintenance, some painting it needs, there's a leak here, there's some plumbing problem, or there's some type of electrical problem, there's something that always needs to be attended to. So this world is like that. There's nothing that's perfect. Whatever is built, even if it was built the best, after so much of effort and energy, then also it needs maintenance. But Allah Ta'ala is in His beauty, in His wisdom, in His magnificence, in His fazal, Allah Ta'ala gives a person that reads this 12 rakat sunnat muakkada salah a beautiful palace from His side in Jannah. And that palace will be such that there's finishes, already finished. There's no finishes that need to be done. There's no architect, there's no interior decorator that needs to look at it. There's no specialist in terms of lighting that needs to come and see it. There's no person that's an expert in curtains that needs to come and tell us what curtains we need there. Nothing, complete, beautiful. Person walks in, it's much better than he would have even thought about. And all, it was just because this person, Allah Ta'ala, appreciated that he used to read his sunnat mu'akkada salah together with his faraz salah. So now we just finished off the chapter with regards to the sunnat mu'akkada, in other words, the two sunnat of fajr salah. So we're moving on to another chapter, babu sunnati dhuhri, the chapter on the sunnah salah of the zuhr salat. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qal, صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتين قبل الظهر وركعتين بعدها متفق عليه. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that I performed two rakats before the Zuhr Salat and two rakats after the Zuhr Salat with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. Now the question that will come to our mind is, this hadith is saying two rakats before Zuhr Salat, but we know that we read four rakat sunnat mu'akkada before Zuhr Salat, so we'll explain this, and then two rakats after the Zuhr Salat. So some ahadith explain that Rasulullah sallallahu, like the next one we're going to do, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed four rakats sunnat mu'akkada before Zuhr Salat, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam read two rakats after the Zuhr Salat. So therefore we as Ahnaf, as Hanafis, we take this. The Nabi sallallahu, we take this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam performed four rakats before, and he performed two rakats after. The Shafi'iyah, on the other hand, they take two rakats. We'll just explain this. Regarding the number of the sunnah rakats before Zuhr Salat, scholars, the imams, they have different bases, or they base their mazhab on different ahadith. According to the Hanafi scholars and the Maliki scholars, there are four rakats sunnat mu'akkada before Zuhr. So the Malikiyah and the Hanafi, they take four rakats before Zuhr Salat sunnat mu'akkada. We'll do those ahadith also just now. According to the view of Imam Ahmad and the recognized view of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, there are two rakats sunnat mu'akkada before the Faraz Salat. So the Hanbaliyas, in the people that follow Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh and Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, they take the two rakats before sunnat of, or before the Faraz of Zuhr. So they need two sunnat. So the above hadith is used by these Imams, by Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and we use the other ahadith as far as the sunnat of Zuhr Salat is concerned. One thing is important to note is why a person can't just do self-study of hadith. See, you're getting two ahadith here showing you two different rakats. Now, if we just apply self-study, in other words, we just do our own study of hadith, we'll get confused. And sometimes it shouldn't happen that a person starts thinking now that this hadith is wrong, or the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is contradicting each other. There isn't a contradiction. This is the beauty of our deen, the beauty of Islam. is that the muhaddithin, they would look at all the different hadith, and from there they would extract rules, they would extract laws, and there's always explanations for why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did different things at different times. But now that Dawuddin has been codified, the Imam Mujtahideen codified, after looking at all the ahadith, all the usuls, all the principles, they've codified it, they made it so easy for us. All that is left for us is like if the food that is prepared, everything is done, all the effort is, all that is left for us to do now is to take it and put it into our mouth and eat it. Everything is shown to us, we just have to practice upon it. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ لَا يَدَعُ أَرْبَعًا قَبْلَ الظُّهْرِ رواه البخاري. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not omit four rakats before the Zuhr Salat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not leave out this four rakat sunnah before the Zuhr Salat. We'll do one more hadith. وَعَنْهَا قَالَتْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يُصَلِّي فِي بَيْتِي قَبْلَ الظُّهْرِ أَرْبَعًا ثم يخرج فيصلي بالناس ثم يدخل فيصلي ركعتين وكان يصلي بالناس المغرب وكان يصلي بالناس المغرب ثم يدخل فيصلي ركعتين ويصلي بالناس العشاء ويدخل بيتي فيصلي ركعتين رواه مسلم. حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrated that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to perform four rakats in my house before Zuhr Salah. So see these two hadith we did here. How many rakats before Zuhr Salah? Four rakats before Zuhr Salah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go out and lead the people in Salah. He would then return after Salah and perform two rakats. So now this would be the two rakats, Sunnat Mu'akkada Salah. He used to lead the people for the Maghrib Salah, and then he returned and performed two rakats. So after Maghrib, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would come perform two rakats. He used to lead the people for the Isha Salah and come into my house and perform two rakats. So in this hadith, it shows us all the different forms of sunnat mu'akkada salat. Only one that is left out from here is she did not report as far as the fajr salah was concerned, the two rakats, but the rest she explained how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform it. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. One thing we learn from here is that salah should also be performed at home. Here we are talking about just general nafil salah, not the fajr salah. Fajr salah should always be performed in the masjid. And as far as the sunnat mu'akkada salah is concerned, ulama explained that where there is a fear that if a person leaves it to go read at home, then he'll get busy, he'll get caught up, and he'll just leave it out. Or there's another reason why we are encouraged to perform and read it in the masjid, also the sunnat salahs, is that if a person, for example, is not going to perform the sunnah salah at home, not going to perform the sunnat salah in the masjid, then what happens, it will create an atmosphere where everyone just leaves the masjid and goes. There's a very great likelihood that people are going to start leaving out the sunnah salah. So therefore, based on that, ulama encourage in a situation like that, where there's a fear that people are going to just start leaving out the sunnah salah, then it's better now to read the sunnah salah in the masjid. For example, Zuhr, person has read the Farad salah, now he reads the sunnah salah in the masjid. Before Zuhr, he comes and he reads the sunnah salah in the masjid. Now it is preferred to do it. Why? It becomes an encouragement for everyone that's coming to the masjid to read the sunnah salah. Otherwise, there's a great likelihood the person will go home, he'll get caught up with this, he'll end up talking to his wife, he'll get busy, he'll do something. And now what will happen? The sunnah salah will all get missed. Here, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not miss it. So he had that level of steadfastness. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam showed us what was the ideal, and he also showed us what was those things that were permissible in deen. So all these things put together, we are told and encouraged that this is how we should do it. The main thing is a person shouldn't miss it out at all. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Unless there is exceptional circumstances, person has got some emergency or there is something to do, then the person misses it out or he leaves it out. But that too is just an isolated incident, isolated case. It's not something that is habitual. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.